All right, take your Bibles tonight and look over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to continue our series on fruit the Spirit creates in believers. You'll find the outline on the back of your prayer sheet for tonight. Galatians chapter 5. And follow along with me as we read again verse 22. We'll kick off from here and then be looking at a number of passages tonight that illustrate and teach us of this fruit that we're looking at tonight, the fruit of gentleness, and an important truth for us to look at. So look with me at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, please teach us tonight from your word. We are needy people. We are recognizing tonight how much we need to see these qualities that you alone can produce in us. And Lord, help us to see clearly tonight your example of these things, that we would not settle for less than what you want to create in us, what you have ordained and planned to create in us. Help us to see this tonight clearly. And Lord, we'll rejoice in how that fruit that is born out in our life will impact others for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing about studying the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God in us is that we need to have, and I think I needed to have, a deepening appreciation for the quality of the fruit. And you might say, what do you mean by the quality? How many of you like moldy, bruised, old fruit? This past Monday, we had the chance to go up and visit my parents. And my parents have fruit trees. I've told you about this before, apple trees. And there are four apple trees that for their 40th anniversary, 10 years ago, we bought them. And they were, you know, this tall then. Now they're big. And they've had lots of apple trees on them. This past year, they didn't have a lot of apples on the trees because of a late freeze that killed off the buds and things on it. But my dad said, as my dad always does, I've got some things I need your help with. Dads are great with that. And I thought, yes, sure, Dad. And my dad always has a longer list than we'll probably get done while we're there. If you think pastor is like industrious, my dad is far, far beyond me in this. He has plans upon plans upon plans. Well, we get there and he wants to trim out the top. And if you know anything about apple trees, there are a lot of things that go up that need to get cut so that the fruit tree, the branches that go out this way, will have a lot more of that energy and life going to them. And so these trees have gotten tall, and he had the extending pruners and the ladder, the 10-foot ladder, and I was up there pruning and cutting. But while I was up in the tree with the ladder, I came across one of the few apples that did get produced this year on one of the trees, way up high, but it was a little tiny apple. And by November, do you know what that apple looked like? Shriveled up, brown, and horrible. And not appetizing. And I didn't look at that fruit and say, that looks so delicious. I just want to grab that and bite it. No, it had no appeal at all. It was worthless, disgusting. And I think that sometimes for us as Christians, what we need to do, if we're going to correctly understand the fruit of the Spirit, is to correctly see what this fruit looks like in its beauty, in its perfectness. And I tell you, the fruit that we are discussing has no parallel in quality. There isn't like grade A, grade B, and subgrade fruit of the Spirit. Do you realize that? There is either the fruit that is exactly what is God-like in its character, or there's something else, which is the works of your flesh. There's not an in-between kind of thing. And if you know well what the fruit of the Spirit looks like in the one who produces it in us, God, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, I think it'll help you have an expectation correct of what it is that God wants to do in you. And It'll be exciting to say, wow, this is amazing what God is doing. It isn't something that's like, eh, kind of good. I think we settle for really mediocre fruit. We think that we're doing really good, but really, often what we think is really good is just something that's a flesh manufactured thing. And it's not good, it's not enough, there's something better. So, if you're hungry for the good thing tonight, let's jump into this. If you're like, I like rotten, moldy fruit, well, then we're going to still look at it tonight. So, are you ready? All right, let's look together at the fruit that the Spirit produces. We've looked at love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Tonight, we're looking at the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of gentleness. Now, in your notes, the first thing there, the fruit of gentleness defined. The fruit of gentleness defined. What are we talking about when we talk about gentleness, Pastor? You see in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I would say in the main, those first ones, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, are pretty self-explanatory. But when you get to gentleness, and actually the next one, goodness, there's a little bit of overlap in some of the definition. And you need to kind of stick with me on this, not be confused. What are we talking about when we talk about gentleness and goodness? Our word, and the word that's translated gentleness in the Bible, the Greek word for that is translated goodness 4 times in the Bible. It's translated kindness 4 times in your New Testament, and gentleness only this 1 time right here in Galatians 5:22. So what is this word? Well, the Greek word means, and let me pull up a definition for you here, it means tenderness, moral goodness, and this is the word in your blank, kindness. This idea of gentleness, kindness, the root word from this has the idea of pleasant or mild or kind, okay? Now, when you think of someone who's gentle, one who is kind, what is the opposite of that? Hard, harsh, bitter. Can I just tell you something about this fruit that we're talking about that God wants to produce in us? God wants to produce in us a fruit that He has, that He demonstrates towards us, that shows towards us kindness, gentleness, tenderness that you need. And by the way, other people need to come from you as well. What happens when you're not kind, gentle, tender with people? What happens when you're not kind, gentle, tender? When someone's not kind or gentle with you, does it bring you joy when people are not kind, gentle with you? No, it causes us to bristle, and oftentimes as we receive it, guess what we turn around and do? We lash it back out. Someone's harsh with us, well, I'll just turn right around and give that again. And someone's bitter with us, and we just turn right around and throw it back at people. But can I tell you, that is not what God wants. This fruit of gentleness is supernatural. And I've said that about every one of these fruit. They are supernaturally created by God in a believer. Look over with me in 2 Corinthians 6:6. We saw last time Paul describing the fruit of long-suffering in a very practical way when he described to the church in Corinth the way that he responded, giving none offense in anything, that the ministry not be blamed, in verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And then he says, in a number of ways and by a number of things. In verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, and notice what the very next word is, by, some of you are with me there, by kindness. The Greek word here for kindness is the very same word as gentleness in our text in Galatians 5:22. So the fruit of kindness or gentleness is one that is illustrated out of a life, and Paul says it among these other things, which I think it's noteworthy. He's quoting other fruit of the Spirit in in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 of love unfeigned, and it's all by the Holy Ghost. This matter of showing kindness to people that is like God's kindness, can only be produced by the Holy Spirit, Christian. You say, well, I know people who are kind and don't know God at all. They are kind in a human kind of kindness. Do you know that that kind of kindness, that type is limited and faulty and fickle and self-absorbed more than you might think? You say, but they're a kind people. They do kind things. But why do they do them, and at what point will they not? You see, everyone will show kindness if there's some kind of reciprocal benefit to it. But to demonstrate kindness while being pushed against, while being in suffering, while being in pain, while being hurt, that kind of kindness, friend, is supernatural, and it is the kind that we need. It is the type of gentle spirit, kind, tender response. And I'm going to use that word response a lot because this fruit is needed in our responses with people. Do your kids need to see kindness, gentleness coming out of you? You're like, I don't have kids anymore, Pastor. Okay. Do your grandkids, do the people that are around you at work or in your neighborhood, do they need to see gentleness coming out of you? Well, let's look at a couple things about this fruit so that we clearly understand it. So the fruit of gentleness defined. Let me secondly show this to you. The fruit of gentleness depicted. The way that it's illustrated in Scripture. How do we see the fruit of gentleness depicted? God shows us this quality, first of all, by himself. And so number one, or the first blank there underneath this blank, God is gentleness, goodness, kindness. Whatever the term you want to define this with, gentleness, goodness, kindness, God is that. God is this. God is perfectly gentle, good, kind. Look over at Romans 2, verse 4. This is actually the first instance in the New Testament where you find this Greek word in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And it's a very significant place. Speaking of the attitude of people who really need to recognize that they are without excuse, even though individuals were judging others and saying, look at what I've done. But in verse number 4 of Romans chapter 2, the Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness that is despised. That's the first thing there at the beginning of verse number 4. Despisest thou the riches of God's goodness, of God's kindness, of God's gentleness that has been shown. Do people, by the way, despise God's gentleness? Think little of it. That's what the word despise means. Are there people who think little of God's kindness? Yes. In fact, I just had a conversation recently with someone who is frustrated that God would send people to hell who have never heard the Bible. Ooh, does that sound like God is kind? Are there people who are frustrated with God and think, well, that doesn't sound kind, Pastor. Why would God judge people who haven't heard or had someone come to them? They're just trying the best that they can, Pastor. Pastor, that doesn't sound fair. That doesn't sound kind at all. Now, let me ask you something. In our human, finite view, does it sound like God is fair to do something like that? I want you to think, don't be super pious here. In your finite mind, in your limited view, does God sound fair? I tell you, it's okay to answer in the negative there. You say, oh, can I answer why? Because if you try to understand God with your finite mind, you will go nuts. You will. You can't understand God with your finite mind. Why, Pastor? Why can't I understand how God does what he does? Because God is above us. God is beyond us. In fact, in Romans 11, what we're going to be getting to soon on the Sunday after next, how unsearchable God's, the riches of the working of God. It's unsearchable, it's unfathomable by man. Have you ever just stopped and recognized God is kind, even though I can't comprehend how he is in all that he does? It really is important for us to understand this. God has shown humanity kindness and mercy over and over and more than you know. More than you know. Throughout the Old Testament, you see little glimmers of it. I think one of the big ones that shines of God showing kindness, gentleness towards people are the people of Nineveh with the story of Jonah. Okay, why is God doing that? Why is God showing any kind of kindness to these people? And by the way, did Jonah know that God would show mercy and kindness toward these people if he went and preached to them? That was his problem. That was the problem. And by the way, that's a problem that people have still today, is an irritation with the fact that God would show kindness on the people that I don't want him to show kindness to. You know what that illustrates? God is greater than you can comprehend. And God's kindness, his gentleness, is seen over and over in Scripture. And can I tell you, Satan loves to claim that God is not good. That has been his claim from the get-go, that God is not kind. You know, God knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, you'll be like him. Lie. Bogus. Lie. Why? Satan's deceptions are too much for your intellect. Can I tell you that? Sometimes I think we listen far too much to lies that we don't need to be listening to deceptions that we don't need to be listening to, and go down rabbit trails of thinking that where God wants me to say, hey, does God say that he is kind? You have it right here. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. People despising the riches of his goodness, of his kindness and forbearance. And then at the end of chapter 2, verse 4, do you see what it says about this kindness, this forbearance, this goodness? Not knowing that the goodness of God does what? It leads people to repentance. You know that if I will tell people God is kind because he says he is, God is gentle because he says he is, do you know that that is needed? Not because everyone likes all the things that they see or have complaints against, but God has said this of himself, and he says that his kindness draws people to himself. God's mercy, God's love. Why are these always themes that are talked about? Because God wants people to know his character is one that will bring forgiveness and that is capable of that. Now, if God is able to bring forgiveness to people through these qualities that he has, do you think it's possible that God wants me to have these qualities so that I might be reconciled with other people as well? God demonstrates his kindness so that there can be a reconciliation with man and him. Do you think it's possible that if kindness were shown out of us, that it would also have an ability to work in a way that would bring about reconciliation, repentance? Do you think that's even possible? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, but the illustration begins with the Lord. And look over at Titus 3, verse 7, because this word is seen again in Titus 3, 7. Verses that we oftentimes think of, and they are very powerful salvation verses, but they're ones that a Christian needs to be reminded of as to how this salvation that we enjoy took place. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. And the Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Does that sound like a good position? You sound like someone in a bad place, in a bad way. But, verse 4, after that what's the next word? Kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That word kindness is the very word in our text, gentleness. The kindness, the gentleness, after the gentleness or kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you know how this kindness of God was shown and shed on us when Jesus died on the cross? When Jesus gave himself a perfect sacrifice for men who didn't deserve it. Who were what? According to verse 3, foolish, disobedient, deceived, self-serving, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating others. Now, if you had someone who made up verse 3 as their qualities, do you know anybody like verse 3? Don't elbow anybody, okay? What's verse 3 say? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. Okay, if you knew someone like that, how would you want to respond to them in your flesh? How would you, in your flesh, want to respond to someone who is like that? Hateful, disobedient, self-absorbed. How would you want to respond to them? In kind. You would want to, in your flesh, respond to them like they are spewing out. You'd want to spew it back. How many of you have young kids or have ever observed little kids that have like a very quick ability? And you were once one of these, so don't think, oh, I'm so beyond this. No, part of parenting is training our kids and teaching them to think of someone other than themselves. Because guess what happens when two kids start to do this? And it just gets like bigger and bigger, right? Have you ever seen this? You're like probably shocked that Pastor illustrated it like this. But hey, I had brothers too and sisters. And it escalates. That's fleshly. Okay, can Christians act that way? Can married couples who know Christ act that way? Can other believers in the workplace respond that way? They can, but remember, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And so the quality, if you're going to say, you know what tastes really good, you need to know what it shows like its perfection in. And it shows itself in its perfection in the way God treated us when he provided us salvation. And you look at how God treated us, and what kind of condition we were in, that should temper in your mind what it is that God wants to produce in you, all right? You'd know as well, oh, the next blank there, I should give you man, I'm skipping ahead. We'll go ahead and skip to that. Man has no gentleness, goodness, kindness of himself. Man has no gentleness, goodness, kindness of himself. I would just say regarding God's gentleness, the gospel, in every place that you'll read about the way that God has treated us, you'll find wrapped up around that God showing his kindness toward us. In Titus chapter 3, I didn't have you look at it, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, that kindness of God is going to be shown into the future. The Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what God is going to keep showing all throughout eternity? His gentleness with us. By the way, isn't that amazing? That the very way that God has treated us is going to be on display in our minds throughout eternity. I think it'd be really good if we thought more about it now. Don't you think? The riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And near God's mercy and love, you will always find his kindness, his gentleness. Man has no gentleness, goodness of himself. In Romans chapter 3, look over there, you'll find another word that's translated this Greek word that's gentleness, kindness. And it's in a surprising place, Romans chapter 3, verse 12. But it illustrates and teaches us again that man does not have this quality of himself. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, a very familiar verse, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good. That word good is the same word as our gentleness, kindness, goodness. There is none that doeth this. No, not one. Is anyone going to be able to say, I can produce this? Nope. You say, I'm kind, but you're not the kind of kind that God wants. You're not the type that God is speaking of here. You're not the perfect kindness. You're not the perfect goodness. And friend, we need that which is perfect. Don't settle for the flesh imitations. Any of you had, when you were a kid, your mom had a bowl of fruit on the table? Any of you had one of these that it was always looking good? Like, because it was plastic? My mom had one of these. Okay. Do not take a bite out of the plastic fruit. It's very disappointing, right? It's not fruit, is it? It looks like it, but it's not. It's plastic. It does not have nourishment. It does not have any benefit. You will be disappointed. It doesn't have anything to give you. And the flesh produces none. The word good is our Greek word for gentleness, and there is no goodness, kindness, gentleness found in man. And that goes in contradiction to many people's beliefs. In fact, on Sunday nights coming up, we're going to look at a number of things that I think the church needs to be aware of and warned against, things that are popularly taught that are not true, but that many Christians get pulled over into because they think good people are a part of it, therefore it's good for me. I'm going to just kind of let the cat out of the bag on one of them. Freemasonry. I recently met a Freemason who said, you know, it's a gathering of good and just and upright men. And I kindly wanted to point him to, whose definition are they good, just, and upright? Now you say, what's wrong with the Freemasons? Well, come to the service and I'll teach you on that. But here's what I would always ask you. If someone says, these group of people are good, just, and upright, the question must be asked, how are they good, just, and upright? Are they good, just, and upright because they say so, because they do good in the community, or are they good, just, and upright because they are in Jesus Christ by faith in Him? I have no other way to be good, just, or upright in the eyes of God except by Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Religion in general today teaches a kind of, if you're a good person, if you're just doing more good than bad, God's going to give you a thumbs up. That isn't what the Bible says. In fact, Romans chapter 3 makes it very clear, there's none that does good. There's none. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. None of us have the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness that God expects or demands. And you can't create it on your own. Only Christ in you can produce this. So man has no gentleness, goodness, kindness of himself. Here's the third thing, and we'll wrap this up. The fruit of gentleness directed. Okay, the fruit of gentleness directed. All right. Where is it going? What is it always shown towards? Well, when you see God showing kindness, is it to himself? No, who's God showing kindness towards? Us, the world, mankind. When God desires for us to be producers of this fruit of gentleness, what is the reason? Is it so we can admire our fruit? Oh, look at this beautiful fruit. No, it's always to be utilized for the benefit of others, impacting the lives of others. It is something God wants to produce in you so that you touch lives like God does. I'm not saying that you become God, okay? Clearly understand this. But when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to produce what He wants to produce in us, people see God. That's the goal. It isn't that they say, wow, Pastor Finney is such a kind, gentle person. It's more so that they would say, how is he such a kind, gentle person? I mean, look at what people do to him. No, not like you all. a church just recently. No, I was meeting with someone today, a businessman, and he was asking about the church. And it's a joy to brag to the glory of God about what God is doing here. God's doing a work in people's lives, and I'm excited about it. But when people see God's fruit produced in you, it's so that they can see God. It's so that they can see Him and be impacted towards God through us. Notice a couple scriptures that point this out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, and verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. What's the next word? Kindness. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. By the way, other qualities that we're going to be looking at, again, as fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, is to be something that is demonstrated out of our lives. The way that I have been treated by God, He has shown me mercy, He has shown me love, He has shown me gentleness, kindness. These should be observed out of me towards others. That's the next blank there. The way that I have been treated by God should be observed out of me toward others. If you're in Colossians 3, we just read verse 12. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay, wrapped up in all of the kindness and mercy and love that God has shown me is an example, then, of how I'm to interact with other people. How when others do me wrong, I'm dealing with them with the forbearing, this kindness, this recognition of, I have been treated by God in such an amazing way that I didn't deserve. How then will I treat other people who don't deserve it? Now, what's our number one reason for thinking we're okay to be fleshly in our response to other people, be it our spouse or relatives or coworkers? Well, look what they did. And I would say to that, to the Christian who's walking in the Spirit, so what? Look what you did towards God when He showed love towards you. What did you do to merit God's showing you kindness? Nothing. What should someone else have to do to merit your kindness? It's really quiet in here. Why do you expect something of someone else before you'll show them kindness? Well, when they do, I will. That's not biblical. That's not Christ-like. Yeah, but it sure would feel nicer. Yeah, but they won't see God-likeness if that's how you act. Because God-likeness comes out when it is not deserved, when the very opposite is thrown at you, and yet you respond in a way that is Christ-like, that is God-like. When speaking of His imprisonment and the unjust way that other people, other Christians even, were speaking of Him, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, I'm going to pull the verse up here. I'll go ahead and give you this blank to fill in. God's plan is for His Son to be manifested in our lives now, illustrated, shown. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19? I'll pull it up here for you. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he says, all that's going on, and even the things that people are saying to me, I know that this shall turn to my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting way to say things? God's going to bring me through this, and He's also going to use your praying for me by the Holy Spirit's supply. And then notice what he says in the next verse, verse 20, Philippians 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, where are people going to see Christ? In you, in a physical form, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do people see Christ in you by the power of the Holy Spirit? And I love this. Of all the things that Paul often asked people to pray for, you'd know in Ephesians 6, he prayed that, or asked that people would pray for him, that he'd have boldness in speaking boldly the truth. But he's also asking here that people would pray for him that he would live boldly. That what comes out of his life would be Christ magnified, Christ seen, Christ observed. And when you demonstrate gentleness towards other people who are not showing you kindness themselves, when you show gentleness, when you show kindness, you are living out Christ before other people. And it is desperately needed. And it is totally possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, in that verse, let me just back up there. Verse 19 of Philippians 1. Do you notice something about this? For I know that this shall turn to my deliverance or salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the supply. He's the one that enables us. How do you ask for someone else to know God's ability to have what they need? You do it by faith, right? When you pray for someone else, when someone prayed for Paul to have boldness, they were praying, asking God, God, enable Paul to have confidence in you to do what you want him to do, right? You know that that's very similar to the very kind of way that we're talking about this. I'm praying, I could pray for all of you individually, that God would give you confidence in him to produce what it is that he wants to produce in your life so that Christ be seen. You know, when you don't produce it, it is because of your doubt, because of lack of faith. It is because you, instead of depending upon him, you say, well, I don't think it'll work. This is the only way I know how to respond. And we do things in our flesh when we don't rely upon, when we don't trust God to produce something that we can't do ourselves. And I think if Paul could ask other people to pray for him in this area that God would be manifested, I think it, of course, makes sense that we can pray for ourselves. God, I want more of you to shine out of me. And I need your help to do any of this because I can't produce kindness, gentleness on my own. I just can't. And I know I can't, so I'm asking you. That is a right way to pray, to see the fruit of the Spirit produced in your life. I need your help, God. I know this is what you can do. I know this is what you have done. I see that kind of fruit, and I want that. Help me. I think that's a very practical way for each one of us to pray tonight. Now, we're going to take prayer requests in just a minute, but I want to do this first. Would you bow your heads just for a moment, all right? I want to ask you a question. Do you want the fruit of gentleness, kindness? Do you want that? Then why not ask God for it right now, personally? If you have Christ as your Savior and His Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you have access to this. You just need to continually say, I want this, I desire this, I want to walk it this way. Help me to be producing this, God. I need this desperately. Why not tell God that right now? Lord, I thank you that you have provided all of these things that we need by your Spirit that dwells in us. Help us to realize that walking in the Spirit is continually depending upon what you've already made possible and not depending upon ourselves or our flesh. Thank you, Lord, that people can be impacted by that kind of kindness, the kind of gentleness that you have demonstrated towards us. It can be shown out of us towards them. I pray that it would grow out of my life more and more, that I wouldn't be satisfied with flesh imitations or flesh halfways, that I would totally see that the only thing that really will impact others and that brings glory to you is for that which you produce to be what's coming out constantly. So God, help us in that. Help us as a church to grow in these, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.